Welcome to this week's edition of Flashback Friday, your opportunity to get some good review by listening to episodes from the past that Jason has handpicked to help you today in the present and propel you into the future. Enjoy.
Welcome to the Creating Wealth Show with Jason Hartman. You're about to learn a new slant on investing, some exciting techniques, and fresh new approaches to the world's most historically proven asset class that will enable you to create more wealth and freedom than you ever thought possible. Jason is a genuine self-made multimillionaire who's actually been there and done it. He's a successful investor, lender, developer, and entrepreneur who's owned properties in 11 states, had hundreds of tenants, and been involved in thousands of real estate transactions. This program will help you follow in Jason's footsteps on the road to your financial independence day. You really can do it. And now, here's your host, Jason Hartman, with the complete solution for real estate investors.
Welcome to the Creating Wealth Show. This is your host, Jason Hartman, episode number 812. I apologize in advance about the sound quality. We are here live at our Memphis Creating Wealth Seminar and Property Tour. Two of our attendees just walked up and I said, hey, do you want to be on the podcast tomorrow? So they agreed to do it. Reluctantly, maybe. I don't know. Is it reluctant?
No, hey, this is great.
Okay, good. So we got Adam Jackson here. And Adam, where are you from?
I'm from Shelton, Connecticut.
Okay, fantastic. And yesterday on the property tour, you bought a house. I remember we got out and we looked at that property and you said, hey, I just bought this one.
Yep. I wasn't really intending on buying it, but after going through it and looking at it, it looked like a great asset. And as soon as I found out that nobody else had picked it up at that point, I decided to go ahead and take it.
Yeah. Good for you. Congratulations. Now, when did you start listening to the podcast?
I started listening now about a year and a half ago.
Uh-huh. Fantastic. And was that your first property that you bought yesterday, or have you been buying other investment properties, or, you know, give us a little bit of background?
Sure. Actually, I started investing back in September 2016. And since then, actually, this was my 10th income property that I picked up yesterday.
Fantastic. So you got your 10 Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac loans, right?
Already maxed out. So this is the 11th because my primary residence takes up one. So yeah, the 10 loan limit has been maxed.
So Adam, you had come up to me just a moment ago and you were talking a little bit about your experience with investing and the Creating Wealth Show and so forth. And is this your first event that you've attended of ours?
Yes, this is the first event with the Jason Hartman Network.
Good stuff. What have you learned on the podcast, or what have you thought about it? I mean, has it helped you in your investing? Is it the first investment education you've had, or have you been working on this stuff for longer?
Actually, I mean, I've been studying it for probably about 2 years now. And but my learning curve went up tremendously as soon as I discovered the podcast. And since then, I mean, I study on my own, but of course I listen to the podcast religiously. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, this is something that I've probably been studying it now for 2 years and decided to start investing, I guess about 6 months ago now, 8 months ago.
Fantastic, fantastic. And you've already got your 10. In which markets are you in?
Okay, right now, 5 in Mississippi, mm-hmm, and 5 in Memphis.
Okay, so you did 5 and 5, and your next 5 should be in another market, okay? Because I want you to be in 3 markets.
Okay, yeah, no, that sounds good. I mean, now this gives me time to sit back, do some research, figure out what's going to be most fitting for the portfolio, and then we'll just pull the trigger on the third market.
Good stuff, fantastic. How's it all been going with you? Have you had some bumps in the road, some problems? Has it been pretty smooth, or how's it been going?
I've got to say it's been really smooth. And now most of the properties that I've acquired have been rehabs, mm-hmm, so the maintenance costs have been fairly low. But you know, as far as all that goes, the rent has been collected each and every time. And then there's just minor maintenance costs. But other than that, I mean, it's been a really good experience so far.
Hey, that's fantastic. Good to hear. It won't always be that way, though. I'm just going to warn you, there will be bumps in the road. There will be problems.
I figured I'm mentally prepared for any kind of, you know, small issues to arise, but I'm ready to deal with them.
Good stuff. That's a good attitude, definitely. Okay, Sepan, are you going to be on the podcast too?
Well, if you are.
Come on, get over here. So Sepan is from Northern California, from Fremont, California, and he was super kind, drove Oliver and Coco and I up to Jonesboro, Arkansas on Friday, the day before our event here. And so thank you for driving us. That was great, and it was really great to get to know you and talk to you and learn about your career and your investments and so forth. So, again, again, thank you for doing that.
Oh, you're
now,
welcome.
Is this your first event of ours?
Actually, this will be my second event. I came to the Meet the Masters event in January, and that was a really a big blast being able to see a whole variety of different market specialists. Since then, I went under contract with two properties, and I wasn't expecting to get something here this time, but I just went in there. Everything made sense. You know, all the parts came together really well. You know, you got a really good local market specialist and the lender. It's really convenient to have all these members present here, like the Aaron here for the lending, and just went ahead and got one, pulled the trigger on one this time.
So good for you. Good for you.
Super excited about that.
That's good to hear. So it's like that one-stop shop kind of thing that makes it really easy, huh?
I think that's what makes it really unique with you and your group, is that you have the whole machinery. It's all ready. Mm-hmm. You know, over the years, I've always considered and thought about possibilities in real estate, even from 20 years back in Carlton Sheets, or you know, and
I remember Carlton Sheets. Yeah, whatever happened to that guy on the infomercials?
I ordered the book and I read it, and I was like, "Well, now what?" You know, so that's what's totally amazing about you and your group. You have it's like a whole factory. It's just all set. You know, all the pieces are just one email or one call away.
Well,
I think it would have been impossible for me to get into this if it were not for you. So I truly appreciate that.
Oh, thank you so much. That's so nice to hear. You know, it would have been possible. It just would have been a lot more difficult because, as I mentioned before, you know, I basically started this business to be my own customer because I tried to do it and it was super hard. So that's the thing. It's getting a little noisy out there with the crowd. Tell us a little bit about yourself just real quickly, and we'll wrap up and we'll go into the segment what we're going to do today on the podcast, by the way, is we are going to be a fly on the wall at the last Venture Alliance meeting in Las Vegas as one of our members talks about just being productive and being successful. He just gave a great little impromptu talk just sitting at the conference table, and I again recorded it just with an iPhone, so it's not super high quality just like this isn't, but it does the job and the content's good. So I think everybody will like that. But before we get to that, did I mention, what do you do for a living?
My career is I'm a physician, and I practice out in Northern California. Uh-huh. I do primary care. Mm-hmm. And, you know, having an income, you know, that's not a problem. But it's the actual, as I said, you know, the investment, figuring out the time, getting things together. That's the hard part, you know, in my busy career. But with your recipe for success, there's nothing I've seen that's greater than yours.
Yeah. So good. Well, hey, thank you very much. How many properties do you have now, and what are your plans?
Well, I have two under contract and one this time, so three. Uh-huh. And I have one out from a long time ago that used to be my principal residence, but... Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm super excited about that.
Good stuff. Well, hey, thanks for letting us catch a ride with you the other day and see another market that we kind of been considering a little bit too. So I appreciate that. And let's just wrap it up. Anything else, Adam?
No, you know, I just wanted to say that I appreciate everything that your network does. Again, I was looking through an old goals book yesterday and saw that my annual goal by June 1st was to acquire one income property. So
you surpassed it.
Definitely surpassed it. I added a zero to that, and also months in advance. So, you know, I appreciate everything that you and your network does, and you know, it's been a great experience. I look forward to continue doing this.
Yeah, thank you so much, guys. I really appreciate that. And listen, you are the customer, you're the client, and so we appreciate you more than anything. So thank you, and thank you for coming on today and just sharing your experience with the audience. I just want to remind everybody, because it's come up a lot this weekend, a great little segment that you all want to hear is go to jasonhartman.com and use the little search bar there and search A Tale of Two Brothers, okay? Because that segment has come up a few times this weekend, and I think it's really important for people to hear that. There's a little podcast on that. Now I got to make sure it's titled that. So I said that without actually searching it myself, but I hope it's that exact title so you can find it. But that is a past podcast you definitely want to hear, and I know you guys relate to that. So again, thank you both for coming on. Remember, you're listening to Flashback Friday. Our new episodes are published every Monday and Wednesday. Now we're going to be a fly on the wall at the Venture Alliance meeting in Las Vegas as we listen to one of our members talk about being productive and successful. And this guy is super successful. So I think you'll really get it was a great little impromptu talk. And again, our audio quality is not that great on this one, but we always try to bring great content. Sometimes it's spontaneous as it is right now. You know, the next episode will have better audio quality, but I think you'll love the content for both of these segments. Thank you so much. And let's be a fly on the wall at the Venture Alliance meeting. Here we go. Who's going next? Hot seat or Skillshare?
Jeff.
Chad.
Want to go, Chad?
Yeah,
do you want to go up or do you want
to? I'm fine here. I don't need the podium.
All right. Visualization.
Visualization. And I've talked to a couple of you guys one on one about just some different things I implement in daily business practices for my team. So one of the things, it started off really elementary to me. It started, you know, with cliche. I was obviously all you hardcore readers in here, but the Tim Ferriss book, when it very first came out, The 4-Hour Workweek, it revolutionized a lot of the way that I did things, and it's constantly evolved over time to where I would have a daily power list or planned out the day, so I know that my task at hand. I'm a very task-oriented person. Funny enough, my wife knows if she wants me to actually get anything accomplished, she'll write it down and put a checkbox beside it. And as I go down the list, I check it off. It gives me fulfillment too. So the thing that we've morphed into the most recently, I really truly believe fitness, business, relationship based, it has to be a daily commitment to the long-term goal. So we've broken things down and reverse engineered them in the business. Obviously, we all talk about annual goals. I relate things a lot back to sports. So obviously, at the beginning of every NFL season, the ultimate goal is to win the Super Bowl. But what do you have to accomplish on a daily basis to be able to do that? So we break things down to the quarter. We like to do 90-day stuff. And we go for the entire person, okay? Not just business goals, but we do body, being, balance, and business are our main focuses. So we have a core four format that we roll out for our 90-day goals, but we always ask, we're going back to the why on a lot of stuff. What am I choosing? Why am I choosing it? What day will I focus on it? And how will I go about getting it done? And then on a weekly basis, I outline one thing to accomplish per day. I outline my entire week on a Monday. Monday's my preparation day and all my management meeting with all my key figureheads. I line up the entire week, but I have one primary focus. Like you mentioned earlier, the rock analogy, it's a great one. If you don't schedule the important things first, everything else is going to take over your day. So you allow the day to get away from you, so to speak. So if you put in the four large stones first, then you can fit in the gravel, then you can fit in the sand, then you can truly be full once it's filled to the brim with water. But if you don't make the time for the most important things in the day, or like I said, I have one focus every day. I have one thing. If I accomplish this, my day was successful. If I win the day, win the week, win the month, you know, so it'll...
Can you give us an example of like a one thing per day focus?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I'll get into what we do, and then I'll get into what my current quarterly goals are.
Yeah, good.
So we call the weekly or the daily process my one thing, my key four. And they have to be something, obviously, that are going to go to a focus of hitting my quarterly goal for whatever it is between, like I said, body, being, balance, business. You know, someone asked earlier about reading. How do you read so much? I get that question a lot. It sounds like most of you read way more than I do. But I'm focused a lot on four main things every morning. I do standard words of encouragement. That could be as small as telling my wife I appreciate something she did for me. That could be messaging a business partner, say, hey, I'm thinking about you. I appreciate you. If not for you, I wouldn't be me. That could be telling my son he played a great game last night. You know, just a word of encouragement to somebody, okay, the direct relation to. I listen to one podcast every morning. It's a morning ritual. It could be from motivational. It could be from the How I Built That series. It could be MF CEO. I don't know if any of you guys are into that or not. It could be Tony Robbins. It could be Cardone. It could be, most of the time with me, I need someone that's going to fire me up. And so you know, where I can get a lot of the educational side on the how I built that, which is really cool a lot of times. I like to be fired up and amped up.
That's a great
too.
Podcast.
Yeah, it really is. Really interesting. But then I also read 10 to 15 pages every day. So it's a daily focus, a daily commitment to read whatever book that we're practicing. And then also I have a daily commitment to my body. So it's not necessarily always just exercise, meditation. It could be stretching, just anything to get the blood moving first thing in the morning. Like I said, whether it's a full blown going to the gym or anything, but I have, so my daily count or my weekly calendar looks like this. I have my first four all on the top and I check them off as I do them every day. And then my daily focus for that day. And then off to the side is my weekly focus for my key four. And then always being reminded about what my core four is for that quarter in order to accomplish. So like right now, to give you an example, and everyone can be a little bit different on this. I mean, it just depends on, you know, what, if you're just starting like in a fitness journey and stuff like that, you know, a lot of people like, you know, what could you still accomplish on fitness or anything like that? But it's always different. Like right now I chose to do, and this, you know, this is goofy to most people, but that's okay. My oldest son's big into basketball. So it's all about increasing the vertical leap right now. So I'm committed right now with him to do jump training. I do jump training with him twice a week. It's good bonding time. This is something that, you know, I can dunk a basketball right now, but I want to be able to, you know, be able to do whatever I want like I used to do. But then I break down to why I'm choosing it. So I go into great detail, specific detail about why I chose this specific task of jump training. Okay. What day am I going to focus on it? So you need to have a commitment or plan time to be able to focus on it, or what day is going to be accomplished on. And then how I will go about getting it done. Anytime that you can be more specific to the task at hand or more specific to the goal, you know, so I don't remember who it was, but it's talking about digging deeper, the main objective. So you say, the old sales cliche is, let me think about it. Well, yeah, but what do you want to think about? Is it the money? Is it the time? Is it the commitment? Is it you're too far away? We're too close? Is it the color? Is it, you know, and that's how I take and break down every goal too. Okay, you want to lose weight. You said, why? Why do you want to lose weight? Well, I want to be skinnier. Why do you want to be skinnier? Well, I want to fit into these jeans. Why is that important to you? Well, it makes me feel better. You know, really digging down to the root cause of, you know, I know you don't like the word why a lot, but the root cause of why, exactly. Like, tell me specifically.
I don't mind why, I just hate the book.
No, I know, I'm just giving you
when I keep saying it. Yeah. Yeah. Start with why.
Yeah. And so that, you know, and I, you know, having a lot of millennials that I work with too, they always ask about the why, and I'm more about the why not, more than anything, usually. Why not me? You know, somebody's going to do it. Why not us? Why not me? But anyway, oh, like I said, the more specific, anytime you are in a business plan or strategy or anything, you know, and you're detailed, the more commitment you are to the actual task at hand too. So I did two parts on my body for my 90-day deal. I do food as well. I've been in the process of trying to just do overall size reduction. You know, I was about 290 a couple years ago. So what am I choosing? I adhere to a 10 to 12 calorie per pound of body weight. And then I do a Saturday diet timeout, because I don't like to use the word cheat, because I think it's a nasty word. And then I say specifically why I'm choosing it. And then I say, what days am I going to focus on it on? And I tell about specifically how am I going to accomplish this? And mine's pretty basic. I track all my macros. I spoke to a couple of you about the macro tracking too, on MyFitnessPal, and that's how I keep control of all my breakdown, percentages, carbs, proteins, fats, whatnot. On my being, I have two different parts that I've been working on. I've never been, you know, as you start to, you know, the How I Built That series, or when I just read like, or when I meet like-minded individuals, it's really eerily odd how similar most of us are. We had the same rituals, the same, you know, I met a guy that we literally had the exact same day. I've never met the guy before in my life, but we know, what's your day normally look like? Man, that's exactly what my day looks like. So when meditation is a key factor that I've seen in a lot of highly successful people. And it's just something, you know, I've been to prayer, but meditation's different. You know, it's you can download an app, Headspace. I don't know if any of you guys use that or not.
Yeah.
But it gets you into, when we talked about, you know, lying in bed and the productive mind spinning out of control, and meditation helps to you to focus on, you know, tantra or saying or a visualization to erase the mind or to stop the mind or to focus the mind onto one key point. And like I said, most of the biggest minds in the world ever in history, where meditation was a part of daily practice. So it's, you know, if it was good enough for them, it should be good enough for me too. But then I break it all down to why am I choosing it? What am I choosing? Why am I choosing it? What day am I going to focus on? How will I get it done? On the study focus, mine was to, I do a daily commitment to read the Bible. So I have a Bible app downloaded on, and I know we haven't discussed, a couple of us have discussed religion here, but I'm an open Christian, just so I'll throw that out there. So I have a Bible app, and it gives me a scripture of the day to walk me through the Bible for 365 days. But then I go into detail about why it's important to me and all of that. On balance, a lot of times, the hardest thing that I ever transition is you have this eccentric play in life when you're going through business between all these different things that I'm talking about. And usually at the beginning of life, when you're in the entrepreneurial mindset, you're all the way over here on business and the family's neglected and your body's neglected. Your balance isn't all put together as one. And so, you know, I would come home and work, and I would get up and work, and I would go to work, and I would miss kids' things, you know, early on, you know, working 80 to 100 hours a week. So my biggest thing as I've gotten older is the true balance of life. So being in the true moment, choosing to leave my phone and go watch a basketball game or a soccer match or something like that, to where that's going to handle itself. It's going to be there when I'm done. You know what I mean?
Just a reminder, you're listening to Flashback Friday. Our new episodes are published every Monday and every Wednesday.
So the balance is really important to me because I think true success is not just a financial number. You know, it's being a good father, being a good husband. It's being a good business partner as well. It's taking care of yourself as well. You know what I mean? So there's a lot that goes in and makes up to what I define success as now, which is polar opposite of what I thought it was 20 years ago. It's just about money back then. It really was. So on the relationships, that's where I come into the balance with the words of encouragement, the daily words of encouragement. And again, on each of those two relationships, one was about my direct family, and I chose to use the daily words of encouragement. The other was to my business partners and associates. Because I think a lot of time we don't give people enough gratitude for what they do. And I know with everyone that's in my strategic alliance, I wouldn't be able to accomplish what I'm able to accomplish if not for them. So I'm only as good as they are, truly. So.
Can I interrupt you just for a second?
Yeah.
How do you do that with a phone call, a stop by a visit, a card, versus just a text or an email? You always feel like text,
all
emails,
the,
you know.
Yeah,
easy,
no,
you know?
Yeah. That's a good question. It depends on the person.
He sends me flowers.
Yeah,
every day.
It depends on how much normal interaction I have with an individual. So if it's someone in the office, obviously it's face to face. Or, you know, I'll wait to the phone call because these are things that I usually accomplish first thing in the morning. So it just depends on how early in the morning it is. Like, I wouldn't call someone, you know, if I happen to wake up really early that day. So it just depends. That's subjective to the person that I'm dealing with. But it's typically a text to answer questions. With the kids, it's different. My direct family, you know, I obviously I tell them in person. But even then, you know, sometimes I'll write just a note and stick it in their, you know, backpack, or stick it on the steering wheel, or, you know, something like that too. So it's just one of those things that people, it's nice to let people know that you care, you know, even though we all really know. I mean, it's nice. It helps people. The affirmation helps people. You know what I mean? On the business side, the study, that goes more into the daily commitment to reading for whatever book is at the time, and also the daily commitment to just podcasting, man. Like I said, I started implementing it a long time ago, and I feel my day more productive when I start my day off right. And at the beginning, I thought it was the selfish side. I thought, you know, you're taking 2-3 hours in the morning to get all the stuff. You could be staying busy at work, but I realized that my day is more productive when I start my day with this pattern. So. And then teach and grow. So like I've talked to most of you one-on-one, I try to manage everything for multiple projects. I have strategic partners that I rely on a daily basis to manage daily operations. And I try to manage everything from a 10,000-foot view. And making sure, like again, I've talked to you guys about, have to be in line with the balance and the values and the commitment and the drive and the long-term vision of whatever company you're looking to grow. A mishire, like, mishire, in my opinion, is just as bad, if not worse, than not hiring someone. It's better just to wait. So, you know, we're big into the hiring process, making sure someone fits our mold and make sure someone is a good apple for the whole bunch as well and shares the same vision and values that our companies believe in. So,
how many employees do you have?
Man, overall with everything, I would guess 300 to 400, 500.
Like, well, that's contractors. Everything. Those are
no, that's employees.
W2s. Really?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, between all the clubs and everything, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And then home office probably, not probably, we have 14 in home office. The health clubs are what rise it up so much because your average
club, yeah, there's a lot of it.
Yeah. You have, yeah. So direct employees that have daily interaction with less than 20. Okay. So, but really what I try to focus on is my main 12 guys and gals, mm-hmm, that have the direct daily focus with everybody else. So that's my core focus, and then they pass down those values and beliefs to everybody else. So,
you directly manage for like 14 people. You don't have tiers?
Well, that would be in a tier-based system. So, no, I do not home office has 14 direct employees through different companies. So, property management company, debt negotiations company, real estate investment company, and then a real estate brokerage as well. Now, I have other companies, sports supplement companies, health clubs, new construction, and then revitalization company, or renovation company as well. So Mike and a product brand design company, web development company, but my focus is on the individuals of each of those.
How many people report to you directly?
12 to 14 on average,
And you're able to manage that?
Yeah. But I said it, so Mondays are meetings day, but it's one of those things too. And so every 2 hours on a Monday, I'm meeting with all the key figureheads. And the biggest thing that we started doing about 6 to 8 months ago, we do in the middle of that day, we bring everyone in the same room together, round table discussion. We do similar to what you're talking about. What's a hot seat? What are the problems and the pitfalls of last week? How can we brainstorm collaboratively to lift each other up, you know, rather than pull each other down or feel that we're in competition? Cause we're all here for the same common goal, same value, same desire. So yeah, it goes back to the focus. So, you know, if people call me during the day, and I'm just blunt with people, if you're not on my list for that day, I'm not going to answer the phone. That's just the way that it is, because, you know, I learned there were so many times to where I would answer the phone. I was reactive. I chose to insert myself as a reaction, and they could have figured it out on their own. I've told a couple of you guys about this. I've learned that I don't want to create a doer. That's micromanaging. I want to create a leader. So I want someone
enabling to be.
Exactly. Right. You're choosing to put them on that path, to follow this list, yeah, you know, and I can say that because I'm a list person too, but it's my list. I have ownership in my list, pride of ownership in it. And anytime that you allow someone to go out on their own and you take that risk, you know, you take that risk, but even if someone could do something to 50 to 80% effectiveness as you, eventually, as long as they're trending up, they're going to constantly grow and get better and better and better and better. And I would rather have 10 people at 50%, obviously at 500, as opposed to me at 1 or 100, just because it's not rational to think and you can't grow the economy at scale like we've talked about. It just doesn't work that way. So that's how I operate. It's all on my daily side. So I just wanted to share that.
Yeah, awesome. Really good. Really good. We got 2.5.
Thank you so much for listening. Please be sure to subscribe so that you don't miss any episodes. Be sure to check out the show's specific website and our general website, hartmanmedia.com, for appropriate disclaimers and terms of service. Remember that guest opinions are their own. And if you require specific legal or tax advice or advice in any other specialized area, please consult an appropriate professional. And we also very much appreciate you reviewing the show. Please go to iTunes or Stitcher Radio or whatever platform you're using and write a review for the show. We would very much appreciate that. And be sure to make it official and subscribe so you do not miss any episodes. We look forward to seeing you on the next episode.